For our text, in our time of meditation before the communion service, I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read just the first five verses, and then we will concentrate our thoughts on the text itself. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're going to concentrate on that text, verse 4, where it says, we have been begotten again, caused to have life, is what that's saying, to an inheritance. To an inheritance. And that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, is reserved in heaven for you. We, the people of God, have an inheritance. We have something that has been promised to us by way of our position in Christ. We have an inheritance. Because we are the adopted sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance. Now, by way of illustration, I want to just illustrate something about the importance and the value of an adoption. We've read already some scripture passages that deal with the fact that we have been adopted, predestined to the adoption of sons. It is a special privilege, position that God has given to us as believers in Christ. But by way of introduction, let me help us to see, by way of an illustration, the value of human adoption. In the imperial succession, in the Roman emperor, adoption was the most common way of acceding to the throne without the use of force. The second emperor, Tiberius, was the adopted son of Augustus. That was the beginning of a general tradition that the emperor adopt his successor. In fact, during the Roman Empire's first 200 years, this tradition was common. It was common with Tiberius, Caligula, Nero, and on through until Lucius Versus. They were adopted, and because of their adoption, they acceded into the very throne in the Roman Empire. Something of the importance in a human context of adoption. Now let me give you an illustration by way of an introduction also of the fact of human inheritance. Some time ago, there was a discussion that I overheard about people thinking about who was the wealthiest person in the United States ever. And they came down to the conclusion that John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest person ever in the United States. Now that was taken in consideration of inflation, because you talk about the billions of dollars that people have today. But anyway, he was considered the wealthiest. Now, most of John D. Rockefeller's money is tied up in various trusts that keep the principal out of the hands of the beneficiaries who live off the substantial interests. In the information I got, I think there are some 200 people who work in this one particular floor of one of the skyscrapers who oversee his inheritance in the trust that they are holding under their case. Now, some of the 1934 trusts, which hold the bulk of the fortune, will end with the death of the fourth generation. And some of the fifth generation families will immediately get possession of huge fortunes. There is something of an inheritance, humanly speaking. But we have something that God has promised to us, that we as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we have an inheritance. our place as adopted sons of God brings us into the place where we have an inheritance through Christ. Let me read you a couple of passages. One of them we've already read. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us, what to adoption as sons. Predestined to be adopted in God's family, adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We have been predestined to the adoption. Secondly, Galatians, the Apostle Paul speaks to the Galatians. He says this, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Our redemption puts us into the place where we are the adopted children of God. And it is in that place, in that position, having been born into the family of God by being born again, we have an inheritance. Our text says it. Notice, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has caused us to be born again to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We, as believers in Christ, have been adopted sons of God, and thereby we have an inheritance. That inheritance goes through the sons, and we have been brought into that relationship with God, adopted sons of God. Now, I want to very briefly consider this thought as far as our inheritance. I want to, first of all, consider the provider of our inheritance. This is going to focus our attentions upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And that's our purpose of the service tonight, is the remembrance of Christ. And the first thing we notice about our inheritance is that Christ is the provider of our inheritance. Jesus is the provider of our inheritance. When Jesus gave himself for us, he gave us all the rights and privileges that belong with himself. Now, Jesus, as eternal God, of course, has essential rights which no creature can even speculate to claim. We're not talking about that. But Jesus, as the mediator, as the federal head of the covenant of grace, he has no inheritance apart from us. We have that relationship to him, his inheritance. That is our inheritance. What we mean by this is this. All the glorious consequences of his obedience is for us. All the glorious consequences of his obedience to God's standard of righteousness in his perfect life, which he lived upon this earth, is imputed to us. All the glorious consequences of his obedience to death, where he endured all the punishment that was required by each one of us, is for us. It is what we possess in him as part of the inheritance as being sons of God. So all the glorious consequences of his obedience, all the glorious consequences of his obedience to death itself are the joint riches of all of us who are in him. He has no heritage apart from us. Can you believe it? What a privileged position it is to be the adopted sons of God and to have that inheritance that has been provided and given to us as the adopted sons of God. It is for us. It is on our behalf that he accomplished the divine will. Jesus has finished the work which the Father had given him to do. Listen to the Lord's Prayer in that passage in John chapter 17. Jesus said this, I have finished the work which you have given me to do, and now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He continues in that same prayer, glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Hebrews puts it this way. This hope, this inheritance, this eternal life, which is ours, we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into the presence behind the veil. That's the presence of God himself, where he dwells, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Because he is the Son, eternal Son of God. Now he has entered into the presence of God as the man, as the mediator, and now he is the forerunner to which, that which we will have as we come into his presence. Jesus is the provider of our inheritance. Secondly, I want to look at the source of our inheritance. And again, Jesus is the source of our inheritance. Does our Lord Jesus, the God-man, stand in the presence of God? He is there in the presence of God for us. Listen again to Hebrews. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. And again in Hebrews chapter 9, he says, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, but which are the copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Consider this, believer. Consider this as a Christian, as you who have confessed your faith in Christ, you've committed yourself to him. By God's grace, you are now a child of God. Consider this. You have no right to heaven in yourself. None. Your right lies in Jesus Christ alone. Our inheritance into eternity is based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of our inheritance. Again, consider this, Christian. You are pardoned, never to have an accusation against you. You've been pardoned from your sins, and it is through the shed blooding of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died for you. Again, thirdly, Christian, consider this. You are justified. You are made right before God, and it is through his righteousness, the righteousness of God himself, which is imputed to you. Jesus is the source of our inheritance. Fourthly, consider this, Christian. You are sanctified. It is because he, Christ, is made of God your sanctification. Jesus is the source of our inheritance. Fifthly, Christian, consider this. You will be kept from falling. And it will be because you are preserved in Christ Jesus. You are kept by the power of God. It's in Christ Jesus who is the source of our inheritance. He keeps us. And sixthly, finally, Christian, consider this. You will be perfected at the last, and it will be because you are complete in him. He is the source of our inheritance. The apostle writes, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, Christian, are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus is the source of our inheritance. The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance, and Jesus is the one in whom we have an inheritance. Jesus is the source of our inheritance. Now, finally, we've looked at the provider of our inheritance being the Lord Jesus. We've looked at the source of our inheritance being the Lord Jesus. Finally, let's look at the glory of our inheritance. Jesus is glorified. Jesus is magnified before the Father because all is in him and because all is by him. So he is glorified in the presence of the Father. And again, the prayer of the Lord Jesus says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And in that same prayer, he says this, the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. Can you imagine that? The glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man, he gives to us. What an inheritance. That is a greater inheritance than have all the inheritance money that comes from the richest men in this world in eternity in the very presence of God and having the glory that belonged to our Savior. So the glory of our inheritance is made certain to us because it is obtained in Him. That's why each blessing is sweeter. And even heaven itself is brighter because it is from Jesus, our beloved, in whom we have obtained it all. Consider the glorious blessings in these terms. First of all, where is the man that can even estimate the divine portion of our inheritance? What man can even estimate that? In some of the words of Isaiah the prophet, he says, where's the man who can weigh the riches of Christ on scales? Where's the man that can weigh his treasure in balances? And then where's the man that can even think to count up the treasures which belong to saints as our inheritance? When you and I reach the bottom of the sea of Christ's joy, then we can only hope to understand the bliss which God has prepared for us who are His chosen ones, His inheritors. So great is the glory of our inheritance. When you look over the boundaries of Christ's possessions, and then you can only dream of the limit of the inheritance of the elect, you can only dream of it. So great is the glory, which is those which belongs to us as the inheritance of Christ. Oh, the glory of our inheritance. The scripture puts it this way. All things are yours because you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Jesus is the provider of our inheritance. Jesus is the source of our inheritance. Jesus is the glory of our inheritance. And we have right to remember Him. And it is wise for us now as we consider that work He did on our part to consider the inheritance which we receive because of what He has done for us. Let me just finish. In the words of a great preacher, so what? What does this mean for us today? Now, there are people who will say, you are probably too heavily minded to any earthly good. Well, the answer is very clear. It should never be said that we are dreaming about the future and forgetting the present. Because the future sanctifies the present for our great usefulness. Through the Spirit of God, the hope of heaven is the most potent force for the product of virtue in our lives. It is a fountain for joy, the hope of heaven, our inheritance. It is a cornerstone to holiness, the hope of heaven, our inheritance. The man who has this hope of heaven goes about his work with vigor because the joy of the Lord is his strength. Secondly, the man who has this hope in him fights against temptation with strength because the hope of the next world repels all the fiery doubts of the evil one that come to us. It's the hope of heaven. It's the inheritance that belongs to us as sons of God, adopted sons of God. The man who has this hope of heaven can labor without present reward because he looks for a reward in the world to come. Do you think somehow looking to the reward, looking to heaven, keeping our eyes focused upon that which is ours, will keep us from being earthly good? By no means. It will focus our attentions upon the right virtues that belongs to the Christian, the identification with Christ. We have the hope of heaven, an inheritance, because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us remember Him. Again, our text says, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has caused us to be born again, brought into adoption, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a privileged position we have. And this afternoon, we come together around this table in the remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for us. When his body was broken and crucified, his blood was shed, that we might be the adopted sons of God with an inheritance. May God bless this to our own remembrance of Christ tonight as we partake of the elements. Let's pray. Our Father, it seems when we consider in the light of your word and what we sense as the Spirit of God's opening up your truth, we cannot find the words to describe the position and the place that we have in Jesus Christ. The hope of heaven, being adopted as sons of God, having an inheritance that belongs to us because of Christ. Father, we pray that as we would now enter into the contemplation by partaking of these elements, our hearts would be warmed anew with the purpose, dedication, living with that hope of heaven, anticipated inheritance that is sure, that is ours. Bless this time in our remembrance of Christ. To that end, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.